The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
Enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Rarely is the question asked, how is our children learning?
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
Hey, people! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for October 1st. 2021. So recently, I have broadcast full-on thunderbolts featuring both farts and penises. Well, this week, we're gonna get really... So when you imagine a superintendent of a school district, you probably picture some conservative, staid, late middle-aged, probably white guy who's earned such a position through being a privileged white guy, who also demonstrates the dedication, drive, and sense of responsibility necessary to obtain such a high prestige, high responsibility job. Though always knowing whose ass you need to kiss never hurts either, and therefore you can probably imagine what all the local superintendents of school might think when someone began defecating on the track at a local high school every night. So, when finding piles of human feces on their track every morning actually became a thing at Holmdel High School in New Jersey, officials finally resorted to setting up a clandestine surveillance operation up their track at night. And I can imagine the looks on the faces of whoever was tasked with that job when they were told exactly what it was they were meant to be looking for. And it turned out that the mystery pooper who was caught en flagrant was a gentleman named Thomas Tragmaglini. Well, it turns out that that was a problem. Actually, it turned out that that was several problems. The central problem consisting of the fact that Thomas Tragmaglini was none other than the superintendent of the neighboring Kneelworth School District. Evidently, Mr. Tragmaglini truly gave a about Kneelworth's rivalry with Holmdale. At first, the Kneelworth Board of Education announced, quote, that Dr. Tragmaglini requested and was granted a paid leave from the district. But when that dog did not bark, though it might have taken a dump, the board later explained, quote, leaves can only be without pay in the face of indictments or tenure charges as a matter of state law. Evidently, pooping on the track qualified. So Mr. Tragmaglini has since resigned from his position without pay. I can't think of any further comment on this particular story other than that was really... So let's move on to other topics now. Amongst the very many things of which there seems to be a shortage these days, is activism. COVID put most activity online, but now there's no longer anything happening even there. I'm thinking people simply had other priorities since the lockdown and needed to get back on their feet. But the world still needs a lot of attention, and I can assure you that the bad guys are not taking any breaks. So I certainly hope that this does not last very much longer. All right. So I often ponder the irony of the fact that Switzerland adopted our own Second Amendment. But unlike us, when Switzerland did it, they did it as the framers of the American Constitution originally intended. Because unless you opt out, every Swiss citizen is expected to spend 2 years in the military learning, amongst many other things, how to safely and responsibly handle firearms. And as a result, Switzerland is a very heavily armed country. But regardless of that fact, or possibly partly because of that fact, Switzerland has almost no violent crime to speak of. For some reason, Switzerland produces far fewer mass murdering psychopaths than we do. In addition, even though Switzerland sits astride a strategic crossroads right in the middle of a bunch of other countries that are rather infamous for always invading each other's turf. However, not one of the numerous invaders that have operated in that neighborhood over the centuries has ever even tried to invade Switzerland. And that is but one of about 17 or 32 reasons that I am against trying to push gun control laws. Rather than punishing mostly innocent people, I would advocate better training in safely and responsibly handling firearms. And I would advocate developing a better understanding of psychopathic personalities with an eye toward humanely marginalizing their more problematic aspects. And another reason why gun control sucks is the simple power dynamic of the equation. There is absolutely no comparison whatsoever between someone who is armed and someone who is not. That is simply an unequivocal, indisputable fact. A 90-pound teenage girl could completely dominate a 250-pound Special Forces operative if she is armed and he is not. A homeless drunk could likely get Jeff Bezos to beg for his frigging life. Were said drunk able to get a gun to set Jeff Bezos' head? Also, in the larger political context, whether or not armed citizens in the U.S. military ever actually start shooting it out with each other, the mere fact someone is armed profoundly elevates the strength of their bargaining position when they are dealing with such people. There's actually some uncomfortable truth in the Black Flaggers' allegations that non-violent protesters are similar to trained sheep, and that the machine largely ignores them. Yes, all things being equal, which they never are, of course, non-violent strategies succeed at accomplishing their goals roughly twice as often as armed insurgencies do. Though neither strategy actually works very often. And yes, the outcomes of successful movements are overall much better and more democratic when they are brought about by peaceful means, rather than at the point of a gun. But even concerning the two most famous nonviolent revolutions that succeeded, I don't think nearly enough attention is given to the fact that both Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had ultra-violent nationalist movements operating contemporaneously with them. No one seems to remember this these days, perchance due to yet more historical whitewashing. But since it dominated the news for several years during my childhood, that I still remember well, that during the late 60s and early 70s, African Americans were literally burning down the cities all over the country. Such behavior could probably be accurately described as off the hook. I maintain that these insurgencies, as opposed to the more commonly applied appellation of riots, basically freaked out the power structure so much that it forced them to go jump into the arms of Martin Luther King in order to get all those crazy radicals out of their faces, thus leading to the achievements that Martin Luther King managed to achieve. However temporarily, and however temporally. That said, though, if you want any real influence, then you need people to take you seriously. And I think it is non-controversial to say that the feds, and everyone else for that matter, always tread much more warily around someone who is armed. And one more thing. A lot of those black flag kids knowingly risk decades in prison for the cause. And I wonder how many of the rest of us would be willing to risk that. So even if you're not willing to bear arms yourself, then rather than dissing them, you should maybe instead give some props to those who are willing to do that. Because in the long run, we're all on the same side. So I've mentioned this before, but it is relevant again. So I'll mention it again. My favorite current theory about life, the universe, and everything is that I suspect that humanity may very well represent a manifestation of the universe attempting to become aware of itself. But my theory may not be as original as I first thought, because I recently remembered an old Kurt Vonnegut novel I read back in the 1970s, wherein one of the characters decides that he is the eyes and the ears of God, and that he is the one who is telling God what is going on. I've also mentioned several times in recent Thunderbolt history that advances in both quantum computing and artificial intelligence are about to unleash powers that stagger the imagination. And it turns out that both of these seemingly unrelated topics might actually be one in the same. Quantum computing consists of processing information literally using individual atoms. And They have actually already done this. It's just that at this point, it costs tens of thousands of dollars per megabyte to write information upon individual atoms. And it costs hundreds of dollars per megabyte to read information from individual atoms. And once you get down to the level of individual atoms, you start infringing upon the territory of quantum physics, where the very rules of reality itself completely change, often in bizarre-seeming fashions. For instance, with present technology, everything in a silicone-based computer is binary, meaning that everything is either a zero or a one. And how all of those zeros and ones are lined up is how you do your calculations. In quantum computing, on the other hand, atoms spin, and that spin can be either up or down, meaning a binary state. But the thing about individual atoms is that they can also be spinning at any other angle in between, up and down, which greatly increases the capabilities, but also greatly increases the confusing complexity of conducting quantum computing. And this confusion is in addition to the fact that the rules of physics no longer apply in quantum reality. In quantum reality, a single thing can be two places at once, and or something can be both dead and alive at the same time. For instance, you enter a realm where the central principle is literally referred to as the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which states that you never really actually know where anything ever really actually is. Be honest, I feel like that a good part of the time. Quantum computing is not yet cost-effective for anything except probably some very privileged government applications. And while I have no evidence of that actually happening, I do know how those people think and how they operate. And especially since one feature of quantum computing is that a quantum computer can very quickly crack pretty much any code that humans can conceive of, then I can pretty much guarantee you that if they can do things like that, then they are doing things like that. Anyway, this is all relevant again right now because Professor Seth Lloyd of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology has recently theorized that the entire universe may be a giganormous cosmic quantum computer. And he does this by invoking Moore's Law, wherein computer processing power roughly doubles every year. Now, people have been predicting that Moore's Law was going to break down ever since it became known of and tracked. But so far, Moore's Law has kept on working, thanks mostly to technological breakthroughs that the previous technology had made possible. Thus, vacuum tubes made transistors possible, which made printed circuit boards possible, etc. And that is why the computer that you buy this Christmas is twice as powerful as the one you bought last Christmas. And now, perhaps, rigid circuit boards are what is going to make quantum computers possible. Professor Lloyd projects that it will be possible to view reality from a quantum point of view. And then he speculates that we will be able to utilize the uncertainties of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And he pointed out that if Moore's law continues to apply, then it will only take a few hundred years before every atom in the whole universe will become part of our quantum computer. Golly, wowie whiz. Even though all this hurts my brain, I think maybe that's what we've all actually been up to for all of these ages. Anyway, it's about time to take a station break. So the Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Hey, people. Welcome back. So, you know, when I first heard that the anti-choicers had come up with a heartbeat bill, my initial reaction was that from their point of view, they might have something going for them there. After all, what better qualification for being considered as a human than having a beating heart? However, at 6 weeks, which is where the state of Texas has just drawn the line, there is no beating heart. What happens is that at the 6 week mark, a microscopic muscle that might eventually become a heart starts rhythmically twitching. It is not pumping anything, as it does not yet have any chambers to act as pumps. There is nothing there to pump, even if it could pump anything. And even if there was something to pump, there is not yet any circulatory system through which to pump it. Giving a fetus full human rights because it might someday become a human, and or because that fetus has a twitching muscle that might someday become a heart, is rather like saying we should allow 5-year-olds to drink alcohol because they might someday become 21-year-olds. So we have an up-to-the-minute report on what's going on outside right now.
What's it look like out there?
The dogs have finished eating the dead.
Now they're eating the weak and the small.
Acid rain destroyed the roof and the bunker. I mean, it's only a matter of time before our skin is gone.
Babies are carrying knives.
Earthquakes are coming every 6 minutes.
The rice, it isn't rice anymore. It burns now.
There's only one thing we can do to survive.
I know. We must. We must get jobs at Walmart.
Yes, the only safe place anymore is a nice, climate-controlled Walmart. Small businesses are failing, and the air outside is toxic. But inside the store, you'll be stocking shelves with bargain pillowcases, fitted sheets, toys, crackers, and more. Plus, employees enjoy our generous benefits package. Benefits include being allowed to stay in the store. Remember, death is everywhere. So come on in, fill out an application, join the family, don't unionize, and make just enough money to get to and from work. Walmart, where else are you gonna go?
So basically, I have spent 10 years now trying to think of interesting and compelling ways to say the same few things over and over again. And I've been covering stories and issues that basically highlighted the same few issues over and over again. So usually I produce this show because I can't really not do it. Sometimes, though, I kind of can't do it. And I figure that if I have to force myself, then I probably shouldn't do it. But the thing is that after all these years, rather than inspiring a revolution, as I mentioned earlier, activism appears instead to have completely died in Olympia. Glenn Anderson recently thanked me for promoting his media work and his workshops in the Thunderbolt newsletter. And I replied to Glenn that I was most happy to promote his work at any time, but that frankly, he was pretty much the only game in town these days. And I find it alarming, and frankly, somewhat depressing, that other than Glenn, no one in Olympia seems to be doing anything anymore as far as organizing anything anymore. Recently, for the first time in the 10-year history of the Thunderbolt newsletter, there was absolutely nothing for the calendar that week. I quit doing the calendar on the radio show months ago when everything moved online, but at least there were things online. And now, this complete dearth of any activism whatsoever is frankly depressing, and I find myself questioning everything lately. In addition to lockdown come down, I also suspect that this current action drought is similar to what happened when Barack Obama first assumed office, i.e., everyone was so relieved to be rid of George Bush, and everyone was so enamored of Barack Obama, that they just quit paying attention for a while. Well, not too many people are overly enamored with Joe Biden. But after Donald Trump, Biden seems like a frigging wise man or something. And since so many things are somewhat less bad now than they were under the Rump, then everyone seems to feel that everything is okay now. When actually, absolutely nothing is okay now. And in fact, the crisis capitalists are cashing in on this actual crisis as they simultaneously prepare to manufacture some kind of fake crisis sometime in the near future in order to further consolidate their iron grip on everyone else's lives. And I am thinking that they're waiting for the technology to be developed that will allow them to do that once and for all. And in addition, I kind of think that they kind of need a Republican to be in office before they can really clamp down, as rank-and-file Republicans would never accept such things from a Democrat, whereas National Democrats are always willing to bend over for the Republicans. However, while I suspect that there is no immediate threat of a major clampdown right now, I did spend the 4 years of the Trump nightmare in terror that the Rump was going to create some kind of national emergency that would trigger a declaration of martial law. And then the police state would have been here then. And in fact, I am pretty sure that that was exactly what the Rump wanted to do. But I think that the deep state people didn't really trust the Rump enough. And they probably aren't quite ready to put the hammer down yet anyway. And thus, they wouldn't allow the Rump to truly romp. So we might have had our asses saved by the deep state.
What do we do? What to do without you? What to think of me if I just live with you?
Ha!
What to do? What to do? How to do without you? Your mind falls down.
The elites have done everything but come right out and tell us that they are going to consolidate everything and everyone into digital signatures. And once they've done that, then your digital signature can be tracked and followed anywhere and everywhere that you may go. Meaning that they will be able to do anything they want to do, and they will be able to instantly crush anyone who questions anything. And at this critical juncture, this is when all of the activists appear to have gone to sleep or something. Well, I suggest everybody needs to wake up. And I don't mind if you use the Thunderbolt as your alarm clock. It's time to get to work now, people. Really. And to get you primed for getting to work, we have another edition, fresh from Afghanistan, of Karzai Talk.
From Afghanistan Public Radio, home of the bottomless pledge drive.
From the abandoned American television truck in downtown Kabul, the city that works better when it's snowed in. I'm Mahmoud.
And I'm Hamid. We're Brick and Brack, the Never Broke Brothers. And it's Karzai Talk. Welcome. Today's program comes to you with the assistance of Afghanosity, the game that helps your brain grow stronger by forgetting.
So much to forget here.
So little time.
So, this week, my brother, our friends in Pakistan suffered a bombing at the hands of their very own Taliban.
Yes, my brother. But those were the bad Pakistani Taliban. Not like the nice Afghan Taliban the Pakistani government has been supporting since the cows had milk.
But now our new government is talking to the Taliban.
Oh, yes. But they're not talking to the bad Taliban.
No, the Pakistanis are talking to them.
The Pakistanis are hunting them down.
Well, what if they became more like the nice Taliban?
Oh, then the Pakistanis would help them hide from the Pakistanis who are hunting them down. Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hello, sir. I'm Fazi Zula, long-time ghost soldier, first-time caller.
Ooh, this would be our first ghost caller on the show.
I don't know whether to feel flattered or haunted. So, caller, when did you die?
I'm not a real ghost. I'm in the army, but I don't fight. They call us ghost soldiers.
Yes, we understand all too well. Tell me, caller, how ever do you justify taking money to defend your country and then not doing it?
Well, let me ask the former president, how ever did you defend taking money to run the country and then letting your brother do it?
He needed customers for his Toyotas. We needed some kind of trucks. It seemed perfectly natural. But now, caller, if you're not actually doing, shall we say, army stuff with your time, how do you spend your days?
Well, in the afternoons, I try to gain insight into my problems by watching the Afghan TV shrink, Dr. Zill.
Ooh, I understand he gave up his shrink certificate so he could be more understanding.
And what else, caller?
Well, I've begun teaching.
Now, see, my older brother, here is an example of a young Afghan repelled by constant war and constant killing, who has decided to do something constructive with his life, to help build the new Afghanistan of which we all dream. Thank you, caller.
Yeah. And by the way, what do you teach?
I teach new recruits how to leave the army and keep getting paid.
Who knew ghosts were contagious?
Well, you learn something every year. Caller, do you have a question for us? It's part of our ghost format.
Yes, I do. iPhone or Android?
Well, let me ask you first of all, do you have access to a reliable supply of electricity to keep the unit charged?
No, but I was interested in it more as a fashion item. I mean, these days around Kabul, you look naked without one.
Yes, and it's nothing worse than a naked ghost. Thanks for the call.
Well, Hamid, at least you got to give your uplifting speech about Afghan youth.
Oh, look, he's already making a major contribution to this country.
Him? How?
By not leaving. Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hello, this is Colonel... I guess you should call me Colonel L, because...
Because Colonel X would seem too obvious.
Well, long-time U.S. public affairs officer in the intel operations operation, first-time caller. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, Colonel, welcome. If you've heard this program before, you know that any injection of intelligence is welcome.
And wildly out of format.
Yes, sir. Well, I suppose you fellows have seen the reporting about possibly some political interference in the intel assessments of our success in the war that we're partnered with you folks in.
Yes, I've heard vaguely about that.
About the political interference?
No, about the success.
Well, sir, I just wanted to blow some straight smoke right into the heart of all that, and I know you folks have a very important listenership.
Oh, yes, we're like Al Jazeera America. Mm-hmm. Nobody listens to us, and they're very influential.
Yes, sir. You, political interference, sir, as in the bad old days, that happened when politically motivated individuals would gain midstream access to an intelligence product and somehow edit or fashion it to fit a personal political agenda.
Mm, sounds like a good plan to me.
You and Dick Cheney.
but modern CENTCOM intelligence, once it's entered into the system, never again is touched by human hands.
How about human eyes?
If we're lucky. The intel data is merely smoothed through an algorithm which filters out outlier data, low-probability items, based on a cross-check with other similar data and within policy guidelines that are baked into the filter.
Ooh, I could go for a nice warm baked filter right about now.
Stop. So, Colonel.
Yes, sir.
If what you say is true.
Yes, sir.
And this war is as successful as the Pentagon keeps saying it is.
Yes, sir.
How come it keeps going on?
Oh, sir, that's an easy one, sir. Success is a process, not just a result.
You forgot the sir at the end.
Yes, sir. Sir. But so I hope that reassures your listener. Listeners. That the folks at CENTCOM take accuracy in reporting intel up and out occasionally as a goal always to be worked towards the achievement of, sir.
In other words, accuracy is a process, too. Thanks for the call. We had help today from the Kabul Airbnb Society. Kabul, we're the city that wants Airbnb.
Legal services for cars I talk from the law firm of Ketchum & Nukem. I'm Mahmoud.
I'm Hamid. Join us next time for another non-rerun edition of Cars I Talk. This is APR. Afghanistan Public Radio.
That was Rage Against the Machine with a tune called Down Rodeo. Before that, we had another edition of Cars I Talk from Harry Shearer, featuring those fun-loving, mass-murdering, drug-dealing brothers, Hamid and Mahmoud Karzai. So that's it this week, except for 6 minutes for some of you, but others of you, we're out of here. In the meanwhile, keep in mind... The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's DANA98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.